Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Next man up on this Thursday. Good morning, everyone. Connor Newt, Brandon Bigsby here with you. And, of course, it is Thursday, so it's TD Thursday. ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport is with us. He's a little preoccupied at the moment because Paul Kaharsky and Joe Rexroad left an absolute mess this morning. There's creamer all over the seat. There is water everywhere. Come on, guys. Be better than that. We are broadcasting today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. TD, as he's getting set up. What's going on with you, TD?
Nothing much. Just doing a little maintenance here.
They left it a mess for us.
Hey, I mean, it's all good. It's all good.
It's like you say. No bad days.
You adapt. You know what I mean?
We
adapt
overcome. And adjust. Yeah, it's what sports is all about. Adversity. I wanted to start things off today with you, TD, because, you know, I've gotten to know you over the years. I know you love sports, but I know you love music even more. So last night, I've been to plenty of concerts, plenty of genres, anywhere from Morgan Wallen to Boys to Men. Last night, I was at Bruno Mars.
Wow.
And let me tell you, when I say that is the best concert I have ever been to, that is the best concert I've ever been to.
He is very much of a showman. I saw him at the, and it's funny, watching the Sixers and Knicks highlights. Of course, they're at the Garden, but I saw him at the Wells Fargo Center. I think they call it something else now, man. I've seen that arena go through three different
names.
But you are 100% right. He is a showman to
the
fullest.
He was busting out. Like, you would have loved it. Like, it was like some of this old, like, Gap Band stuff almost.
Really?
Michael Jackson was
in
there.
He did some Gap Band?
It was crazy.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's definitely my answer, but I know you've got some stories. What's the best concert you've ever seen in person?
Oh, man, there's... Well, my first concert, and we talked about it with DMC.
That's right.
Run DMC and Beastie Boys. Man, best concert.
It's a loaded question for sure.
It is. I tell you who I really enjoy seeing perform, and that's Maxwell.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen him twice. Now, my favorite one was when I saw him at Camden, at the Camden Waterfront. And his set was just tremendous. Like, he had these real long bamboo shoots, I guess you could call them.
Huh.
And he had it served as a screen.
Oh, nice.
And he performed, and it was just, that's the first one that comes to mind, but I've seen so many. My girlfriend and I, we went to see Run DMC, New Edition.
Oh, yeah, I heard that was a fantastic show.
And Boys to Men.
Yeah.
With Toni Braxton.
That's a show
right and
there.
So I'm sitting there watching, and Boys to Men is singing background for Toni Braxton. And I looked at her, she looked at me, and we're just like, yo, this is literally in heaven.
I've seen Boys to Men twice.
Really?
I saw them once. They were doing a taping for some CMT show over at near the Opry. So it was like a private event, and that was unbelievable. And then I saw them at the Ascend Amphitheater a couple of years ago.
Nice.
They're unbelievable.
I want to see a show there at Ascend.
It's nice. Yeah, it's a good summer venue.
Gotcha.
Like, you can get seats, but honestly, it's a lot of fun getting like picnic blankets and just sitting out there, sitting out on the lawn. It's some good stuff.
I will say this, because I'm not going to deny that one. I saw Wu-Tang twice.
Oh.
Now, I saw Wu-Tang and Nas, courtesy of Chase and Sean. over there at Bridgestone. But I saw Wu-Tang in the first hip-hop show at the Ryman Auditorium.
Oh, that was a couple years.
2019. Yeah.
I've heard stories about that one. I heard that one was pretty crazy. But, I mean, last night, I feel like I'm going to just compare every concert from here on out to that one. And
yeah.
I'm going to be disappointed.
I'm glad you enjoyed the show, man.
It was
nothing
fantastic.
Like, you know, getting a reward for when you feel good about spending money on something, you know?
I mean, it was a treat yourself day. I mean, I'm graduating college on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, might as well celebrate. And boy, was I rewarded. 615-737-1025. Robert on the text line. Driven by Wilson County Hyundai, of course, says Run DMC and Beastie Boys. You are showing your age, TD. There's nothing wrong with that. I love both of them.
And Robert, let me tell you something. I'm proud to be 49 years old.
Yeah.
I'm a healthy 49. And in addition to being proud, I'm blessed to be 49.
You grew up in a better generation of music than we have now.
Yeah, showing my age. I don't know if he meant that as a negative connotation, but
I doubt
you know
it.
It's Robert. You'll see, and hopefully you are, you know my age or even older. And hey, it's a blessing.
I'm jealous that you got to be around that era because I look at people nowadays like there are some diamonds in the rough, but for the last majority of like all this pop stuff, I'm like,
man, listen, I'm old enough to be able to remember a day where you would sit down at the dinner table and not have your phone there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now, just because of the way life is, because I'm not complaining, but because of the way life is and we're always connected, and like, and especially like in our industry, you got to always have your phone because something could happen in a heartbeat.
Yep. I mean, it's a little bit of a dead period right now, but like you say, it could happen in a heartbeat, so you never know. Let's talk and begin with the Titans. So this week I've been kind of, I don't want to say pushing the narrative, but kind of navigating through this. And I feel that Cam Ward's offense is going to require a safety blanket, and I think it comes down to two options at that position. And it's not a position that you own. It's just a position that kind of naturally happens. But I feel like, because of their work through the middle and because of their reliability in the offense, Gunnar Helm and Wandell Robinson are going to be the two options for Cam Ward as kind of a safety blanket when all else fails. Just get it to them in short range. Do you think that will help Cam Ward and overall the offense be effective?
Yeah, I think having those guys that are reliable options, especially on third downs or, you know, in conversion opportunities, I think it's really important. It's almost like the key to everything else, frankly. Because, well, obviously the O-line is the key. But when you look at that whole situation, if those guys are able to convert on third downs, it gives you more plays, right? It extends the series. And that's more opportunities for everyone on the offense. So, yeah, I like that concept. I like that idea that those guys are going to be safety blankets. And, I mean, look, that middle of the field, that's where you go typically when you're trying to get things going as far as getting
his
to a rhythm
too.
And everything. And that's his wheelhouse also. He does need to make sure he has to get more accurate on that seam route, though, because that's something where, you know, he's hung a couple guys out to dry a few times. And you got to get that pass better in order so they could take advantage.
And some of that comes with the progression of a quarterback. Like, he's going to need to take a step, and I don't think there's any arguing that. But I feel like, if those are your two options when all else fails, and let's say Carnell Tate and Calvin Ridley are covered on the outside and you got nothing else, I would feel pretty good about those options.
Yeah.
I think that those are guys that can create in short space, like we've talked about. Gunnar Helm is not particularly elite at anything, but he's pretty good at everything. So.
Yeah. And, you know, even Carnell Tate comes into play also because he has that short area quickness and, you know, on third downs, third and 11, right? You want to go back shoulder, you could do that because he's pretty good at those contested catches and he gets open quickly as well. So that's another thing to consider.
Yeah, and I think you could also consider the backfield as an option. Mm-hmm. Tony Pollard, he's not particularly a pass-catching running back, but he can create in space. Tajay Spears, of course, is a pass-catching running back where he can create some room and get you some big, maybe not big, but he'll get you something. So I think you're going to have options in this offense. I've been using the term respectable in terms of how this skill position is stacking up, just because I don't think on paper right now it's not particularly elite like some of the other offenses in the NFL. But at the same time, I think you've done a good job this offseason of building something that you can help develop a young quarterback with. So I would say respectable is probably the word.
Yeah, I mean they've put some solid weapons together for him, and I think it should be in line for a pretty well balanced offense. I know Tony Pollard is advanced in age, but if you look at the end of the year, he did show that he still has something left to give. Now, is the backfield top five? Of course not, but I think that combination Pollard, Spears, and even a little sprinkle of Khalil Mullins, I think that is going to be sufficient with this offensive line. Just still have the issue about the interior part of it, but I do believe that they have the makings on paper, and of course it's on paper, of what could be a pretty solid offense that has balance and could beat you in multiple ways.
Yeah.
Compete in multiple ways. I'm not ready to say
beat you.
A team that has, you know, six games over the last 2 years, I'm not going to automatically just say they're going to beat, but I think right. they can compete.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect them to compete on some level. Like, I would hope that they're 3 wins better than what they were last year. I'd hope they're 12 wins better, but that's pretty unrealistic. So, on paper, I think this is a respectable unit. Respectable is key. I don't think they're particularly head and shoulders above anyone in the league, but I think they're capable of doing some good things for you in the future. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got a fun show planned with TD today. Going to talk lots of Titans. And, of course, your opportunity to talk to TD at 10 a.m. We'll get your questions in if you want to text or call us. We'll get to all of them, so get them in. Coming up next, we'll continue this conversation. And I kind of mentioned the term respectable. Can a respectable, in quotations, wide receiver core be serviceable and essential to the growth of a young quarterback? We'll do that coming up next on a TD Thursday. Connor Newt, Teron Davenport, Brandon Bigsby here with you on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Teron Davenport, Brandon Bigsby here with you on this TD Thursday. And it appears I've gotten everyone started on the difference between Gen X music and music from about 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's a lot different, man. But you got the timeless pieces, man. Nas, Illmatic. I saw a poll, and they had the top 10 most influential, albums of New York. Illmatic was number one.
Mm.
And that is literally one I could just put in, press play.
Yeah.
And just let it roll.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the old stuff. Like, I'm pretty fluid in music. I go across all genres. I'll listen to whatever for the most part. But something about like late 80s to early 90s hip hop. There's nothing like it to me.
Ah, man, there's so many. Showbiz and AG.
Yeah.
Diamond D. Fat Joe.
Oh,
of course,
Fat Joe.
Of course, Mobb Deep. I mean, so many, man. You got the Smith and Wesson, you got Helter Skelter, OGC. Man, there's so many, man, besides the obvious.
I mean, we could do 3 hours on that if we wanted to.
Mike Geronimo, Lost Boys.
Yeah. Man. Bone Thug and Harmony.
Bone Thug. Yeah, Bone Thug. The first of the month. Speaking of first of the month, it wasn't really the first of the month, but it was the fifth of the month. Mm. I have to take a second to shout out the God Body, G-A-W-D, Body. And that's who trains me.
Yeah.
And I feel great.
There you go.
From the work that we've been able to do together. But she celebrated her one-year anniversary in business.
Nice.
It was on the 5th. I was away. I was at ESPN Summits, the summit all week. But, you know, I want to shout out East, great job. I'm proud of you. You deserve everything you got, and I love you, and I appreciate our training together.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope to have a girlfriend and trainer wrapped in one. You know what I mean? It's like buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
Gotta love
it. You get benefits from both.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, you look great. I'm sure you feel great.
Oh, feel good, man.
Summer's coming up.
Feel good. Hey, listen. Got to walk around with no shirt on.
We're going to see Teron Davenport walking across the pedestrian bridge with his six-pack poking
playing
out.
Playing Wu-Tang Clan.
Boombox over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, TD, we're kind of talking about the offense and how I think the Titans have done a good job for the most part of getting skill positions in that you think can service Cam Ward and help him take a step. The offensive line, to me, is on paper a bit of a concern at the interior, just because you bring in a center in Austin Schlotman who hasn't been a consistent starter, and then you bring in a guard in Cordell Volson, who's been a starter, but he's battled some injury concerns. Is the offensive line, you think, something that could prevent Cam Ward from taking that next step if they are below average, we'll say?
That's a great question, and it's always intriguing to me when you talk offensive line with this Titans team, because when you look at the thing that quarterbacks hate the most, they don't like that pocket getting pushed into their face, right?
Yeah.
Collapsing right into their lap. And the most direct way to do that is attack the interior.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're talking about areas for improvement, and we're looking at center and right guard, and it's like, all right, man, I get Austin Schlotman showed Brian Daboll that he's capable, but that's a pretty husky gamble. You're going from a guy who you signed to one of the highest center contracts ever in Lloyd Cushenberry with a pretty solid backup in Corey Levin to Austin Schlotman. We'll see. Cordell Volson, Jackson Slater, more, we'll see, right? And I think when you look at Pat Coogan, the hope should be at some point he unearths Schlotman. Well, the hope should be that Schlotman just plays well.
Yeah.
But the backup hope, Coogan rises to the occasion.
He's
a very well tenured guy in college, you know, back-to-back national championship games. He brings exactly what you want from the center position as far as being the ultimate communicator. We'll see. But the question marks are right there. Cordell Volson, you know, he didn't play. He hasn't played in a bit. Jackson Slater. Second-year player. You don't know how it's going to go. So, bunch of question marks there. And you don't want question marks along your offensive line, period, especially the interior part. However, for every yin, there's a yang. And one of your best players on the roster is right there in the interior, and Peter Skoronski. So, you know, there's good and bad there, but you're right. The offensive line, that could be something that could be a serious area of contention, you know, when you're looking at the whole offense being good. And as we know, everything starts in the trenches, not just for the running back, as the conversation completely turned to when talking about Jeremiah Love. It's for everybody. Calvin Ridley could run the best route and turn the corner around. If Cam Ward doesn't have time to throw the football to him, it doesn't matter.
Right. And I was going to ask you about Coogan, because I feel like that's someone that has the potential to rise to the occasion. Again, we're all talking on paper right now because we got to actually see it to believe it. But I feel like that is someone that could rise to the occasion and maybe not start the season off at that center position, but maybe work his way into it. If that's the case and Coogan, you know, proves his worth and is your starting center at some point this season, even if Austin Schlotman is still healthy, is that something fans should feel good about, or is that something you should be worried about?
If he rises to the occasion, I mean, you always want competition.
Right.
Right? But you don't want to get into a situation where you're trying to pick the prettiest pig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So competition is good, but if the competitors that you have aren't, then, you know, there's no use. But I think they're in a situation where these guys will push each other to be solid. I mean, there's always question marks with a rookie, and there's always question marks with a player that has a small body of work.
Yeah.
So may the best person win, I guess. Yeah. But, I mean, like, I wouldn't be too confident in that right now. And unfortunately, because of what you've seen over time, it's hard to give the Titans the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You know, if I were a fan, I wouldn't expect bad. You know, I would hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
that's kind of what
12 games in 3 years. So.
You know what I mean? It's tough sledding.
Right. I would look at it from sort of a glass half full perspective in that, okay, you got a 6-round pick. He's shown a lot of progress, and you feel confident in him being an NFL starter. Mm. That's great. But at the same time, I could see the other side of they're starting a 6-round pick as a rookie. Like, I would understand if it was a 2nd or a 3rd round pick, but a 6-round pick is crazy to me. So I would look at it glass half full and think, okay, I trust in the process. I trust what Brian Daboll thinks he can do on this offensive side of the ball. And even the position coaches, I trust that they have the ability to see through this. But I could understand the concern that some fans would have if Coogan were to overtake Schlotman and have that spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing because, you know, granted, again, it's a late round pick, but typically offensive linemen, you get them later. It's just the way it works. You could get players later along the offensive line. And even though he's a 6-round pick, he's a good prospect.
Yeah.
And the thing that I really like, and I asked him about it specifically, you know, when we were talking to them on the Zoom, you've been a part of a culture change. How can you bring that same type of culture change mindset here? You know, and he talked about some of the things that they did and having the right thought process and approach. Indiana was not a football university.
No.
And here they are. He was there for 1 year and they won the championship. Obviously, they became competitive the year before, but, you know, they took the next step with him there at center.
I do get, from a mentality standpoint, he gives me Ben Jones vibes in a roundabout way. Like, I think they have that same mental makeup of just being a locker room leader. Again, Ben Jones was a phenomenal offensive lineman here in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if Pat Coogan can become that. But the mentality and kind of how they carry themselves remind me of each other.
And the leadership aspect.
Yes.
You know, I could reason with that.
Yeah, I like Pat Coogan. I think he's a good prospect. It's just time will tell to see what he can eventually become. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Again, we'll do Talk to TD at 10 a.m. Get your questions in now. We'll take your texts. We'll take your calls. We'll take anything you got, and we'll get through every single one of them. So we'll do that at 10 a.m. But coming up next, we're kind of talking about the offensive line. How does the offensive line, knowing what we know about them and knowing what they are on paper, affect a said respectable receiving core? I'll get into that next with TD on the other side. Let me tell you that the Nashville Sounds have a doubleheader today against the Louisville Bats, AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds, who, poor Reds, by the way, have been walked off 3 games in a row. First pitch is at 3:35. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. More with Teron Davenport on the other side right here on Next Man Up on 102.5. Welcome back in. Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Teron Davenport, Brandon Bigsby here with you. We're talking Titans offseason, and of course our offseason coverage presented by Tennessee Brewworks, the official craft beer of the football offseason coverage on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let us also to tell you to subscribe to our YouTube channel at 102.5 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. We're of course streaming live on there right now. So if you want to see our beautiful smiling faces, go ahead, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and feel free to comment. We'll get to your comments and questions for TD at the top of the hour as we do Talk to TD. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call us. We'll get to every single one. So do not be afraid to talk to TD.
Don't be afraid, baby.
We may end up singing to you because it's a very musical day for
Brandon. Aaron Hall, Don't Be Afraid. This is a little tip.
I mean, this is one of my favorite days on the station is to listen to this show with Jake because I just want to hear what TD has cooking up in the playlist department.
Yeah.
And it almost usually never disappoints. So there's that for you. But TD, we're talking about the offensive line and kind of the factor they're going to have on this team and what they're able to produce throughout the season. We talked about, obviously, protecting the quarterback, but the number one reason you want to protect the quarterback, of course, is to prevent injury. The number two reason, I would say, is so he can connect with his receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you, TD, is How does an offensive line that on paper is below average contribute to a wide receiver room that I'm labeling as respectable?
Well, that is another good question, and I think it goes back to something I asked Brian Daboll at rookie minicamp, just about, because you look, man, Cam Ward is completing 17%. He completed 17% of his passes to the wide receivers when they face press coverage.
Yeah.
You're going to – I mean, it's real simple. If I was defending and what DCs do to the Titans last year, what they did was, hey, when in doubt, we're going to go to the line and we're going to press and going to win. Mm-hmm. These guys have to be able to beat press coverage. So I think, yes, it's on the offensive line. It's on the receivers also. And you have to be able to get open quickly. And you have to be able to maintain the timing of the passing offense. They're working on Cam Ward getting his footwork right and his steps, his drops, you know, in line with the progressions of the offense, et cetera. That doesn't matter if the receivers aren't doing what they need to do to win. So I asked Brian Daboll about that, and he talked about more bunch formation, right? More motion, using, you know, switch release, condensed splits, et cetera, allowing these guys, just creating space, because that's what all that does. With the motion, you know, it's a lot harder to get your hands on a moving target when they take off, you know, at the snap. Bunch formation, you know, it creates space, because naturally if you have one guy on the ball and two off, there's going to be two corners off the ball. So they're able to get a little bit better into their routes, you know, as long as that point man on the ball doesn't get jammed up. So there's different things that have to happen. You have that. But then even the offensive line, you know, it's important to mix in your run plays to get them into that, because you ask any offensive lineman, they're going to run the ball. That's what they want to do, because they love to be able to fire off the ball, be the attacker, the aggressor, and not the absorber,
yeah,
right? And so that's the difference between pass pro and running the ball. So, and that wears down defenses, and it just gets them into a rhythm. So I think you have that as a case too, but really it's just going to come down to them coming together and, you know, knowing their protections and winning their matchups. That's yeah, the bottom line. And that's, you know, you have the questions about, I mean, really, quite frankly, everybody on the offensive line, there's a question except for Skowronski.
Right.
To be honest with you.
I would agree with that. I mean, Latham's got to take a big step.
Yeah.
We've talked about the interior. Dan Moore, of course, has the question marks, where he's essentially on a one-year deal from here on out.
Right.
Prove it year every year. So yep, I think you're right, TD, and everyone in the offensive line has their questions. The thing I've kind of figured out about this wide receiver room is every receiver on this team, I feel like, serves a different role. Like, Carnell Tate is obviously your rookie, and you think you know what you have in him. He's got high upside. But in watching his college film, he's not much of a yak guy. He's kind of, he gets hands on the ball, he's going to bring it down, but he's not going to get much yardage after that. Calvin Ridley is sort of the same way. I think he's more of a route runner in that aspect. Technician, yes. We've talked about Wandale Robinson and how he's kind of a slot receiver, your safety blanket. And then you can plug in Io Manor in that position as well. And then Chim Dike is kind of your explosive play guy, the kind of guy that if you want him to run a go route and throw it up to him, he's probably going to come down with the ball and get some yardage on top of that. So I think if every receiver on this team fulfills the role that they're assigned, then this receiving core can be really, really nice. But I think it impacts the offensive line. The offensive line has a case on how they can impact that. I think play calling has something to do with that. And like you said, I think the receivers as people have something to do with that as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you could put Alec Iomanner into the mix also. It's kind of like your mid-range guy, you know, working the digs and those things, middle of the field. They just got to figure it out, just how to be able to be a more consistent group, a more consistent offense overall. The one thing that I do think they have winning for them is how things go when they get off schedule. And Cam Ward, Alec Iomanner, they seem to be on a different page. And it showed from the first touchdown that Ward was able to throw. It even showed in the season opener against the Broncos when he caught the ball. Iron Manor caught the ball and got the elbow in, and it wasn't challenged, whatever. But, I mean, there's clearly something there. You see a synergy there. So they have to be able to continue to develop that. And when getting opportunities, Iron Manor has to step up. He's obviously not the starter anymore with Carnell Tate taking over at the X, but he's still going to get time.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that Cam Ward is an improvisational quarterback. I think he works best when he works off the speed. Like, I'll take you back to, was it Elik Iomanner's first NFL touchdown where Cam Ward moves right, the line moves left, and he throws cross-body into the end zone and finds
Elik Iomanner. Yeah, that's the one I was referencing in the home opener. Yep. And you saw him point. You see Iomanner, and they go that way. And yeah, that was quite a play, man.
Yeah, so I think the receiver room needs to be willing to adjust to what your quarterback is willing to do because, you know, like we've mentioned, he works well off schedule. He works well when he's improvising and doing things on his own. He's not the kind of quarterback that's going to take off and run and get 40 yards like a Lamar Jackson, but he's capable of moving in and out of the pocket and creating things with his legs that open up something for his arm. So I think that's kind of what this receiving room is going to have to play to the strengths of is Cam Ward's going to do what Cam Ward's going to do. It's a matter of can you create the space and make a play with that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You want him to stay within the offense. You do.
Yeah.
But when he has the opportunity to make a play, you don't want to take that away. As Brian Callahan said, you don't want to take away his stinger.
Right. He's a what is it that Muhammad Ali used to say? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Yep, that's what Cam Ward does. And hopefully we get to see him take that next step, but there are a lot of factors that play into that, and we'll see how it looks. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll have more with TD coming up next. Plus, I want to ask him about the running back room. Nick Singleton was a pretty good value pick that the Titans got in the fifth round at that running back position. I'm curious of his role on this team, and could he overtake the role of another running back already rostered? We'll get to that coming up next, right here on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Teron Davenport, Brandon Bigsby here with you. Boxing fans, 102.5 The Game and Team Boxing League have your chance to win tickets to see Nashville Smash take on the Boston Butchers at Municipal Auditorium on Saturday, May 23rd. 16 rounds and 16 fighters each go at it for one round of nonstop action. Text the keyword FIGHT, that's F-I-G-H-T, to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter for your chance to win. That is something I would definitely go watch.
Yeah, I think my guy Austin Dule is in that, man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Austin is boxing. He did in one of those before. He's nice. He got some hands, man.
Yeah.
He's nice.
I mean, boxing as a sport, unfortunately, in today's modern era has gone downhill. But I was telling, I think I was telling Corey this yesterday. Every once in a while, I'll pop in that old Mike Tyson 1995 tape where he's fresh out of prison in the black shorts just killing people.
Man, he Mike back in the day, boy, that was a spectacle.
I wish I could have seen him. He was about 10 years before me, but I wish I could have seen him. Speaking of things I'm curious to see, the running back room has gotten a little bit of a change for the Titans. And you know, obviously you still have Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears on paper as your one and two, but the Titans drafted Nick Singleton, and I think they really like the upside that he provides as maybe a high-end running back two on this team. So I ask this, does Nick Singleton affect the value that Tajay Spears has on this team currently?
I think he's going to take some carries away. Definitely affects the value. Spears and Pollard, neither one of them are under contract beyond this year. Obviously, it's more than likely, you know, they'll allow Pollard to move on. I would look at keeping Spears because a tandem, you know, with Spears and Singleton is actually not bad. Now, I think it's going to take carries away. It's very clear that Mike Borgonzi speaks or likes Singleton. He spoke very fondly of him, even compared him to Isaiah Pacheco. Now, I don't necessarily see the same violence.
Yeah.
But I still think Singleton, you know, at 220 pounds, and I saw him walk by on the opposite side of the field when we were in the opposite end zone of the weight room.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's going to be a load to bring down. And I think when you look at the strength that he has, you know, the squat records that he set, I think you look at, the power clean that he set. Like, yeah. Penn State is known for what – I mean, you know what Saquon Barkley has done. Even going back to LeVar Arrington, Kenjana Carter, Curtis Enos, like, these were always – they've always had, like, outstanding weight room performers. He set records,
yeah.
You know what I mean, among that school. 55 touchdowns. So I think when you look at this and the receiving aspect, that to me is where I think there's crossover and where there could be a loss of snaps for Tajay Spears, because Tajay, since he's gotten here, has always been, hey, that's the – he was taking snaps away from Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So – and working at third, you know, on third downs. So I think – Nick Singleton's ability to emerge as a pass catcher, emerge as a guy at 220, you better be willing to come up and smack a linebacker's face when if he, you know, filters through the line of scrimmage, blitzing, et cetera. So if he could do that and prove that he's someone that could be trusted to protect Cam Ward, that is going to take some snaps away from Spears.
I think that's something interesting that you pointed out, in that Singleton and Spears could end up being a nice little running back tandem. Because thinking about it, I think they actually complement each other really well. Like, Spears, as we know, and has kind of been the knock on him sometimes, is he likes to play the ball east to west. He doesn't like to run up the middle. He likes to work his way around the trenches.
Yeah, hit the alley, bounce it outside.
That's right. And then Nick Singleton, in what I've seen from him, and like you mentioned, at 220, you better be willing to do this. He'll just run it right up the gut and run right through the running back, or the linebacker, I should say. So I think they would end up complementing each other well. To me, it's just a matter of, can Spears stay available? And Singleton, too, to be honest with you, because he had that broken foot injury last season. And I realize last season was kind of a disaster of all proportions for Penn State. But still, it's availability for both of them. But
absolutely.
I think if they're both available, I think they can both be effective in different ways.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, they complement each other well, as you said, but also they're both young backs. And here's the thing that I like about the situation is, when one's on the field and the other isn't, you can't say, oh, Singleton's in the game, they're running the ball. Spears in the game, they're probably going to pass it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They both give you a well-rounded perspective when it comes to the running back position. And it's not like when Tajay and Derrick Henry were together, it was like, oh, Derrick's in the ball. If they pass, it's going to be a screen. But they're probably running it. You know what I mean? Oh, Tajay, okay, watch the back out of the back. You know what I mean? It's not – it takes away from predictability, long story short.
Yeah, and I think in a roundabout way, in drafting a receiver as early as you did, I think that also takes away your predictability as well. Because you see Carnell Tate line up on the outside, and let's say you have Nick Singleton lined up, you know, that jumbles the opponent's mindset. That's like they could run some play action here. They could run – up the middle, you know, for all we know, Tate could be running a slant just across the middle. It's
RPOs.
RPOs, you have that.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing I also like, and this is one of the few occasions where you say you like a jerk, right?
But needs one.
I like that Brian Daboll is a jerk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's and when I say that, I'm not like talking down on his character. He's a jerk in that when he wants to do something, he's going to do it. And he's also a jerk in that, hey, look, Carnell Tate was selected high. He's going to show you why.
Yeah, we're going to use him.
So Tate is going to get his share of plays called for him. Rightfully so, because he's a very polished product as well. But I think when you have an OC that has that degree of jerk, that stubbornness, that degree, that arrogance, he's going to reinforce, okay, you know what? I got here. We picked this guy fourth overall. None of y'all, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not out to prove y'all wrong. I'm just prove me right. And I think that's the approach.
It's Mike Vrabel-esque. Like, that's kind of a Vrabel mentality.
Yeah. It is. I mean, Arthur Smith had that, you know, and it's I think just in life, period, to be successful, you have to have a degree of jerk to you.
Yeah.
Because you have to be willing to say, you know what? All you guys said I can't do this. That's funny to me. Now watch me go do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to have that. And that's just a part of being successful, in my opinion.
I agree with that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. The time is now. Your chance to talk to TD coming up next. All your questions, again, text those in, call those in. We'll get to every single one of them if we can. We'll talk to TD coming up next right here on Next Man Up. Connor Newt, Teron Davenport, Brandon Bigsby here with you on 102.5 The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.